Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Those two who might be listening to the recording, glad you could join us for this Bible reading, Spirit of Prophecy, I would say today, reading on the subject of Revelation 14 and prayer meeting. Like to share with you a small story. Some years ago, a man found a Spanish coin in Florida. It bore the date 1796 and the Latin words plus ultra. There was a time when the motto on the coins of Spain bore one more word, ni plus ultra. Why was it changed? In those early days, Spain controlled both sides of the Straits of Gibraltar and the two rocky points, one of the African shore and the other on the European shore, were called the Pillars of Hercules. At that time, Spanish coins were stamped with an image of those two great outposts, which were at that time the last known habitable parts of the earth toward the West. On the scroll over the Pillars of Hercules appeared the words ni plus ultra, no more beyond. But when Columbus sailed into the western horizon and discovered the New World, everything was changed. Spain became a mighty empire with lands beyond the sea, the mines of Peru and Mexico, and the sun-drenched hills of California. Then the motto on the coins was changed to plus ultra, more beyond. All through the Dark Ages, men and women were persecuted for their faith and went to their deaths, trusting that because of Calvary, Christ would later restore them to life. Plus ultra was the glorious future on which the martyrs of old who died based their hopes. Plus ultra, more beyond. I've chosen for the beginning hymn today, one I think some will know. I'll just bring it up on the screen. I love to tell the story. For those who know it, please take a verse. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory. Of Jesus and his love, I love to tell the story, because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story. Will be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat. What scenes each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Oh, sorry, Liz. I love to hear you sing. I'll be happy when you get your microphone.
Amen and amen. Well, just think, dear ones, the telling of the theme, the story of Jesus, it just doesn't happen here, but if faithful to the end, it happens throughout eternity. What a grand experience awaits us in this life to the next, where we'll be able to tell that story on unnumbered worlds that we visit. All because of God and his goodness and grace held out to each and every one of us. Well, before we start today in the Bible, in the Spirit of Prophecy too, today's it's going to be a Spirit of Prophecy based, in relation to last week's study. Let's have a word of prayer. Our loving Father in heaven, thank you so much for another opportunity to meet with brothers and sisters from around the world in live time, in real time, and thank you for blessing us to, despite the circumstances, to be able to do this in the room. We appreciate the close and deep relationships that you've allowed us to have. to give us something of the inkling of the love that you have for each one of us. The complete manifestation given in Jesus. You're all infinite love, infinite gift from the infinite Father of light. We pray that Spirit, you would keep our brethren and sisters in this mourning time that is facing them, has faced them, has just begun, is continuing throughout the week. That you would bless those, our family members of the faith who are mourning the loss of loved ones that they've known most of their life or all of their lives. Those close relationships that speak something of thy goodness and thy love and perfectly manifested in Jesus, which is why one of the reasons we are called to worship in spirit and truth, to know God, the true God, and Jesus Christ who he sent. We thank you for the opportunities of this week that have been ours. Time is a precious gift, and it is such a solemn thing to die, there's no doubt. But it's a much more solemn thing to live. And to live for Christ is to have everything, and may each and every one of us recognize the Christian orders called to Christian service as Christian enablings as we continue. And the goings seem difficult, especially for brothers and sisters coping with the loss of a loved one whom they no longer have. May the hope of eternal life buoy up, become stronger to them in the face of loss. Jesus, you wept. The shortest verse in the Bible says, Jesus wept. And indeed, you raised Lazarus from the dead, but he saw death again, but he was not without hope. And we're thankful that this life, if this was all we had, it would be a most miserable existence. We acknowledge that. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we have believed the witness of those, the eyewitness of the touching and the feeling and the holding and listening to the words of life, Jesus Christ, come back from the dead and ascended to heaven for us. Thank you for your continued ministry, Jesus. Please continue to be with the son-in-law of Sister Jean, who is finding, may the conviction of being a Christian, a strong Christian, despite his dear dad with bipolar acting the way that he is, and along with his dear dad to be impressed with a better life, and that life not found in moods, swings, but Jesus, you can take hold of him. If he wants to be taken hold of, we need taking hold of. That's our hope. That's our hope of escaping self and sin. We cannot do it by ourselves. We can act like we can, but we would be lying to ourselves. We believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by you. And we're upholding these dear souls and others whom we know, but maybe they don't have a Christian walk. But maybe that worse, they think they're Christians, but they're not really. Maybe there's something like I was, calling myself a Christian before I actually knew what it meant. So be very careful that these souls would be convicted about what is said, what's come out of their mouths, and the impression that leaves on others because of what it entails. May the unspoken prayer requests of brethren and sisters be understood how you're answering them as they keep them. And you test us, you test each and every one of us, how sincere and how true we are to what we're asking for and to the glory of God that it be for. Thank you for removing restrictions and some allowing restrictions to open up fields that brethren and sisters can work back in Christian service for others. May the souls that still can't do this continue to have access one way or another, as they have been able to, especially in Fiji, I think of, and I'm grateful that this has been the case, to keep the faith and hope and help alive before others despite the circumstances we live in. Thank you for taking care of our particular needs, each and every one of us, and blessing our families as we seek to be in harmony with the family in heaven. I look forward to going forward now, Lord. And may our dear brother, Laverne, and anyone else that is faced with the pressure of getting the vaccines available, may you bless them to make the right decision, and of course anything that they can do to help the process come about to be in the best possible health thereafter. We know you want every one of us saved, and we thank you that you are saving right now as we speak for all who are open-hearted and with the blessing of the law, although it condemns us, all the more reason and the direction it points us to needing the only Savior, Jesus Christ, justified from sins that have passed, that we've committed, and sanctified through God's grace in the present. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Good evening. Good evening. Hello to everyone.
Hello, Sister Chaka. Glad you could join us.
Yes,
happy fourth day of the week.
Thank you.
I should share with your sister, dear sister. I don't know if you know, but our dear brother Bob's dad died recently. You might have known that. And dear sister Elaine has died also.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to hear that. Very sorry. Very sorry to hear that.
We'll keep them in prayer, and thank you for joining us today again. Happy, I think it's the fourth day of the week for you.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we're picking it up from last week, what we looked at. I'll just get it up on the screen. Okay, so let's see if I can bring it up. There we go. So last week we read verses 1 to 3 in Revelation 14. And perhaps we looked at verses 1 to 3, and which was a continuation of Revelation 13:11-18. It led us to consider, to ask the question, who will be saved without experiencing death in the end of the great controversy, where everyone's involved, every individual, no exclusion, no exemption. And of course, Revelation 14 provides the answer. Thank you for that information, dear sis. And we were shown that the 144,000 are with the Lamb on Mount Zion, and indicating the triumph that they experienced over the beast and his image in Revelation 30. John had seen them passing through the severest trial. He had seen them boycotted and condemned as worthy of death, as is listed in chapter 30. But in their darkest hour, they were delivered and are now with the Lamb, eternally secure from the conflicts of earth. And of course, as the last verse of chapter 3 finished with, were redeemed from the earth. Very significant statement. In other words, they did not see death. So last week, we also looked at the matter of I'll bring it up on the screen. We also read this statement, and it's from Desire of Ages, page 421. Moses upon the Mount of Transfiguration was a witness to Christ's victory over sin and death. He represented those who shall come forth from the grave at the resurrection of the dust. Elijah, who had been translated to heaven without seeing death, represented those who will be living upon the earth at Christ's second coming and who will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, when this mortal must put on immortality and this corruptible must put on incorruption. 1 Corinthians 15:51-53. Jesus was clothed with the light of heaven, as he will appear when he shall come the second time without sin unto salvation, for he will come in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Hebrews 9:28, Mark 8:38. The Saviour's promise to the disciples was now fulfilled upon the Mount. The future kingdom of glory was represented in miniature. Christ the King, Moses a representative of the risen saints, and Elijah of the translated ones. So you can see the relationship that that has to verse 3 or verses 1 to 3 in Revelation 14. So as we looked at last week, some believe that this statement and others like it are general statements. The claim has and is made that the 144,000 comprise of those who died in the face of three angels' messages along with the living, that the dead will go through the plagues with those who did not see death. That is the claim. Though they do grant the fact that only the last plague they claim, they, the special resurrected group, go through to be a part of the 144,000. So that's the claim that was shared. Now, we looked at a number of statements, and it seems quite plain that the plagues are gone through and the people of God are saved, 144,000, through all of them. So we were looking. I've got a list of the other statements, and no doubt there could be more that could be quoted that are not so direct, but yet still tell the story. And as we go through these statements, we're going to see more specifically, especially when we get to the end, just the specifics of how the spirit of prophecy sees it regarding in agreement with the Bible. The significance of it's the whole seven last plagues, the 144,000 are kept from, and that special resurrection is that they are with the 144,000, but not a part of them. So I'm going to ask for a number of you to read to us. It's reading time. And who would like to, I might get you to read a bit, and when I don't go any further down, I'll just perhaps make a comment. Any brothers or sisters that would like to make a comment, please do so, and in the text box. So who would like to start us off?
All the precious dead, from righteous Abel to the last saint that dies, shall awake to glorious immortal life. Look to Jesus. Trust in Jesus, whether you live or die. He is your Redeemer. He is our life giver. If you fall asleep in Jesus, he will bring you forth from the grave to a glorious immortality. May he give you peace and comfort and hope and joy from henceforth. And I don't know what 2SM is.
So the first one was Faith I Live By, page 183, and the second is Two Selected Messages, page 254.
Oh, thank you. Do you want me to keep reading? Okay. It will not be a long period now before we shall have filled the years of our probationary time. If we do not rest in the grave, we shall see the Savior coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. If we are sleeping and are found obedient children to the commandments of God, we shall have part in the first resurrection with those upon whom the second death have no power. Christ says to his people at this time, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Revelation 22:12-14. Precious words. They are more valuable than fine gold, even the golden wedge of Ophir. And I'm not sure what book that is.
No problems, sis. That's Bible Echo, June 10, 1891, paragraph 1. I think you can start to see the three quotes Sister Joan has just read, the significance of the fact that they don't have a part in the second death. The spirit of prophecy just brings out the reality. It's a very separate group that are raised from the dead from those who have nothing to do with being raised from the dead, namely the 144,000. But this will become even clearer as we continue. If you'd like to read the next ones, dear sis, any comments as well anyone has, please feel free to let us know what you're thinking.
In the midst of the time of trouble that is coming, a time of trouble such as never been since there was a nation, God's chosen people will stand unmoved. Satan and his host cannot destroy them, for angels that excel in strength will protect them. Is that Testimonies, 9 Testimonies? 16 and 17 written in 1909. And what's LDE?
That'll be Last Day Events, page 267.
Thank you, brother. When the third angel's message closes, mercy no longer pleads for the guilty inhabitants of the earth. The people of God have accomplished their work. They have received the latter rain, the refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and they are prepared for the trying hour before them. Angels are hastening to and fro in heaven. An angel returning from earth announces that his work is done. The final test has been brought upon the world. And all who have proved themselves loyal to the divine precepts have received the seal of the living God. Then Jesus ceases his intercession in the sanctuary above. He lifts his hands and with a loud voice says, "It is done." And that's found in OFC, what is that?
Well, I had to do a Google for that one, dear sis. You got me too. Our Father Cares, page 332. Our Father Cares.
Thank you.
I think it's really interesting what you've just read here that I'll just put it in gray. Trying out before then. What language is that? That's the Philadelphian church, isn't it? Trying out before them that God's going to keep them through. Thank you, sis. I'll bring up the next quotes.
The trying hour before them that she's referring to there, isn't that referring to the time of Jacob's trouble?
S- So I was referring to the seven last plagues. So yes. My understanding with the time of Jacob's trouble and the time of trouble has, there's only one time of trouble I found in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. There is a small time of trouble referred to, which she speaks of in Ellen White's, in the early writings. But they're trying our before them. It's to try everyone on the earth. I was relating that to the Philadelphian church, where Christ says that he will keep them from the trying hour that will come upon all, the temptation to yield, to not follow through. But what are your thoughts, dear sis?
Yeah, but I thought this was, this was where they, she says they have received the seal of the living God. Now, after they are sealed is when they have the time of Jacob's trouble. At least that's what I get from the last chapters of Great Controversy, and I've just read them twice, and I'm going through them the third time.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. I would say that would be the seven last plagues that we're referring to, how they'll be kept through that trying hour that's before them. Is that what you're saying? I think it is.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Sorry for any confusion. Thank you. That's powerful, that book, isn't it? That Great Controversy.
It's really a book for today, The Great Controversy. It's an amazing book. I've read it. And I'm rereading it, and I'll probably reread it again, because each time you read it, you get something else from it.
Oh, amen. You might recall I made a magazine, Truth is Truth, and I desired to give that door to door. And it costs quite a bit if you don't get a lot of prints. But with The Great Controversy, because it's printed in the, you know, millions, you can get it for maybe $4 or $5, including postage per copy. So that's pretty good to give to someone, to think that they would have it in their home and one day or that day start reading themselves into the truth and be one to the Lord's side, or to continue following the Lord if they're already Christians and preparing for what's to come about upon the world as an almost overwhelming surprise. Would someone like to continue reading?
Angels destroying, bringing disaster and destruction. The time of trouble, trouble such as was not since there was a nation, is right upon us, and we are like the sleeping virgins. We are to awake and ask the Lord Jesus to place underneath us his everlasting arms and carry us through the time of trial before us. Third volume of manuscript releases, 305. Then I was shown concerning the wicked who now die and are happy. I saw in their sickness and death, if they should once realize their awful condition, they would die in such agony of mind and would make such appeals as would frighten some to profess the truth that they did not love it, that never could be saved, and go through the time of trouble, and others would be deranged. And again, if they felt their lost condition, it would show that Satan had not power enough over them to blind their minds so they could not feel their own condition. I saw that the wicked were Satan's lawful prey, and that they were completely deceived by him. Therefore, now is the time when there are no bands in the death of wickedness, the death of the wicked, excuse me. Six manuscript releases, 170. All should be prepared to hear the signal trumpet of the watchman and be ready to pass the word along the walls of Zion, that the people may prepare themselves for the conflict. The people must not be left to stumble their way along in darkness, not knowing what is before them and unprepared for the great issues that are coming. There is a work to be done for this time in fitting a people to stand in the day of trouble, and all must act their part in this work. They must be clothed with the righteousness of Christ and be so fortified by the truth that the delusions of Satan shall not be accepted by them as genuine manifestations of the power of God. 1888 Books, page 5072. At that time, the latter rain or refreshing from the presence of the Lord will come to give power to the loud voice of the third angel and prepare the saints to stand in the period when the seven last plagues shall be poured out. Early Writings 86, 1854 edition, and Last Day Events 186.
Well, thank you, dear sis. Just to cut in here, isn't it fascinating? I mean, isn't it quite plain that she refers to the saints, obviously saints that are alive, and the relationship that they have to the seven last plagues, or every one of them, but nothing about people being raised after the seventh plague begins. You know, she's very specific about the saints that they're living here, just like the Bible, which is not surprising.
Yeah, that's very good reading. It was very good.
I was pointed to the remnant on the earth. The angel said to them, "Will ye shun the seven last plagues? If so, ye must die that ye may live. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Ye must have a greater preparation than ye now have. Sacrifice all to God. Lay all upon his altar, self, property, and all, a living sacrifice. It will take all to enter glory." Maranatha 98:3. At that time, the latter rain or refreshing from the presence of the Lord will come to give power to the loud voice of the third angel and prepare the saints to stand in the period when the seven last plagues shall be poured out. Maranatha 170. The time is not far distant when the test will come to every soul. The observance of the false Sabbath will be urged upon us. The contest will be between the commandments of God and the commandments of men. Those who have yielded step by step to worldly demands and conformed to worldly customs will then yield to the powers that be, rather than subject themselves to derision, insult, threatened imprisonment, and death. Prophets and Kings 188. I saw that God had honest children among the nominal Adventists and the fallen churches, and ministers and people will yet be called out from these churches before the plagues shall be poured out, and they will gladly embrace the truth. Satan knows this, and before the loud cry of the third angel raises an excitement in these religious bodies, that those who have rejected the truth may think God is with them. He hopes to deceive the honest and lead them to think that God is still working for the churches. But the light will shine, and every one of the honest ones will leave the fallen churches and take their stand with the remnant. 1 Spiritual Gifts 172. It was impossible for the plagues to be poured out while Jesus officiated in the sanctuary, but as his work there is finished, as his intercession closes, there is nothing to stay the wrath of God, and it breaks with fury upon the shelterless head of the guilty sinner who has slighted salvation and hated reproof. The saints in that fearful time after the close of Jesus' mediation were living in the sight of a holy God without an intercessor. Every case was decided, every jewel numbered. 1 Spiritual Gifts 198. The Word of God tells us how we may be perfect Christians and escape the seven last plagues. But they took no interest to find this out. 4b, spiritual gifts. I saw that the priests who are leading on their flock to death are soon to be arrested in their dreadful career. The plagues of God are coming, and after one or two has fallen and they are tormented with the plagues, it is not enough. For all this, his hand is stretched out still and will not be brought to himself again until his purposes are fully accomplished, and they will be led to worship at the saints' feet and acknowledge that God has loved them because they held fast the truth and kept God's commandments. And his hand is stretched out still in wrath and justice, and he will not rest from his anger until the hireling priests and all the unrighteous are destroyed from the earth. Now that's one I haven't seen before. EXV54.
Yeah, that's a good one. Good question. I just Googled it, and apparently it is Experience and Views of Ellen G. White. Experience and Views.
Okay, thank you.
Good. That was very good reading.
Already a few drops of God's wrath have fallen upon the earth. But when the seven last plagues shall be poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, then it will be forever too late to repent and find shelter. No atoning blood will then wash away the stains of sin. That's from Five Testimonies. And at that time, a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. When this time of trouble comes, every case is decided. There is no longer probation, no longer mercy for the impenitent. The seal of the living God is upon his people. This small remnant, unable to defend themselves in the deadly conflict with the powers of earth that are marshaled by the dragon host, make God their defense. The decree has been passed by the highest earthly authority that they shall worship the beast and receive his mark under pain of persecution and death. May God help his people now, for what can they then do in such a fearful conflict without his assistance? 5T212. Prepare to meet thy God is the message we are everywhere to proclaim. The trumpet is to give a certain sound. Clearly and distinctly, the warning is to ring out. Babylon the great is fallen. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Revelation 18:2-4. The words of this scripture are to be fulfilled. Soon the last test is to come up to all the inhabitants of the earth. At that time, prompt decisions will be made. Those who have been convicted under the presentation of the word will range themselves under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel. They will see and understand as never before they have missed many opportunities for doing the good they ought to have done. They will realize that they have not worked as zealously as they should to seek and save the lost, to snatch them, as it were, out of the fire. 19:149. John beheld an angel flying through the midst of heaven, warning men of the final judgment of God. He proclaimed the position of those who heeded his warning and who would escape the seven last plagues. He announced them as God's people and called attention to their peculiar character. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The time for the fulfillment of this prophecy has come. We hear the sound of this very message calling the attention of men and women to the broken law of God and demanding repentance and reform. Review and Herald, January 31, 1888. You know, I'm not saying that we are in the time of the mark of the beast. It's getting close. But I see in these references where Satan is attacking God's people in such a way that when the mark of the beast comes, they will hopefully bow down and worship and do just what they're told to do. That's what I feel this whole COVID thing is about, is getting people ready to accept the mark of the beast without question, doing what the laws, although I read over and over that these mandates by the president are not laws yet. Maybe they're waiting for the Sunday law, and then it will actually be a law instead of a mandate. I don't know.
Thank you for that comment, sis. It sounds like a primer. Did you want to say something, Sister Chaka? Okay, well, continuing, the message comes in our own time. Babylon is fallen, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and that you receive not of her plagues. Those who obey this message will escape the terrible plagues that will surely be visited upon her. You can see again the close link between the living saints and the plagues. I won't ring the Maranatha quote. There's so many quotes on this subject, but there's just zoning in on Revelation 14 and the plagues, the seven last plagues. This is a quote from Two Spiritual Gifts, page 208. But we were yet to pass through another severe trial. At the conference, a very solemn vision was given me. I saw that some of those present would be food for worms, some subjects for the seven last plagues, and some would be translated to heaven at the second coming of Christ without seeing death. Okay, so that was a conditional prophecy, obviously, because all those people have died. But like conditional prophecies in the Bible, doesn't make them false prophets when the conditions are not met. Just like Jonah is a good example. Unless Nineveh was going to be destroyed, but they repented and God did not bring the declared destruction that Nineveh was preaching to the Ninevites. So you can see it here, without seeing death. It means just as it reads, without seeing death. Here's another quote from Seven Bible Commentary, page 982. The power of the Holy Ghost must be upon us, and the captain of the Lord's host will stand at the head of the angels of heaven to direct the battle. Solemn events before us are yet to transpire. Trumpet after trumpet is to be sounded. Vial after vial poured out one after another upon the inhabitants of the earth. Scenes of stupendous interest are right upon us. Temperance. Temperance, page 201, it says, neither of you have seen the necessity of health reform, but when the plagues of God shall be all around you. So here we have the people that are going to be, the plagues all around them, are they say? You will then see the principles of health reform and strict temperance in all things, that temperance alone is the foundation of all the graces that come from God, the foundation of all victories to be gained. You remember that's where our first parents fell, on temperance. Hello there, dear Brother Dick. Our condolences to you, my friend. We will all be keeping you in prayer. Our deep condolences. Did you want to say anything, dear Brother? So continuing the quotes in relation to the seven last plagues and those who go through them, those who are lost and those who are saved. Lucy, would you like to continue reading? Oh, no, she hasn't got a microphone. I'm sorry. Excuse me. The words will soon be spoken. Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. One of the ministers of vengeance declares, and I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. These heavenly beings, in executing the mandate of God, ask no questions, but do as they are bidden. Jehovah of hosts, the Lord God Almighty, the just, the true, and the holy, has given them their work to do. With unswerving fidelity, they go forth Penelope in pure white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles, and when their task is done, when their last vial of God's wrath is poured out, they return and lay their emptied vials at the feet of the Lord. That's testimonies to ministers. Page 432. We're told in Maranatha, page 281, it was at midnight that God chose to deliver his people. As the wicked were mocking around them, suddenly the sun appeared, shining in his strength, and the moon stood still. Dot, 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 dot. Dark, heavy clouds came up and clashed against each other, but there was one clear space, place of settled glory whence came the voice of God like many waters, shaking the heavens and the earth. There was a mighty earthquake, the graves were opened, and those who had died in faith under the third angel's message, keeping the Sabbath, came forth from their dusty beds, glorified to hear the covenant of peace that God was to make with those who had kept his law, or those who never saw death. Amen. We love to get your microphone up and running again, dear Sister Luce. We're told in Maranatha 282, they also which pierced him, Revelation 1:7, those that mocked and derided Christ's dying agonies and the most violent opposers of his truth and his people are raised to behold him in his glory and to see the honor placed upon the loyal and obedient. Great Controversy 6:36, it is at midnight that God manifests his power for the deliverance of his people. The sun appears, shining in its strength. Signs and wonders follow in quick succession. The wicked look with terror and amazement upon the scene, while the righteous behold with solemn joy the tokens of their deliverance. We don't have to read the complete quotes as much to be read. I do want to get to a particular quote. There's two of them. Specifically, that I found, I don't know how one cannot see as clear as these are or have been thus far. We'll quote this one, Great Controversy, page 638. Through a rift in the clouds, there beams a star whose brilliancy is increased fourfold in contrast with the darkness. Can you imagine that? It speaks hope and joy to the faithful, but severity and wrath to the transgressors of God's law. Those who have sacrificed all for Christ are now secure, hidden as in the secret of the Lord's pavilion. They have been tested, and before the world and the despisers of truth, they have evinced their fidelity to him who died for them. A marvelous change has come over those who have held fast their integrity in the very face of death. They have been suddenly delivered from the dark and terrible tyranny of men, transformed to demons. No, Holy Spirit. Their faces, so lately pale, anxious and haggard, are now aglow with wonder, faith and love. Their voices rise in triumphant song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Psalm 46, 1 to 3, Great Controversy 6, 3, 8. Another quote, this is from 1 Testimonies 3:5-4. Notice what she says about the living. It is impossible to describe the horror and despair of those who are trampled upon God's holy requirements. The Lord gave them his law. They might have compared their characters with it and learned their defects while there was yet opportunity for repentance and reform. But in order to secure the favor of the world, they set aside its precepts and taught others to transgress. Jesus warns us in chapter 5 of Matthew, verses 17 and onwards, not to do that. They have endeavored to compel God's people to profane his Sabbath. Now, you have to be alive to have that happening, don't you? Now, they are condemned by that law which they have despised. With awful distinctness, they see that they are without excuse. They chose whom they would serve and worship. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him. Malachi 3:18. Well, you're about a terrible crash. The sea boils like a pot and the whole earth is in terrible commotion. The captivity of the righteous is turned. Now, you have to be living for that to happen, don't you? And with sweet and solemn whisperings, they say to one another, we are delivered. It is the voice of God. With solemn awe, they listen to the words of the voice. The wicked hear. But understand not the words of the voice of God. They fear and tremble while the saints rejoice. Satan and his angels and wicked men who have been exulting that the people of God were in their power, that they might destroy them from off the earth, witness the glory conferred upon those who have honored the holy law of God. Excuse me. They behold the faces of the righteous lighted up and reflecting the image of Jesus. Those who are so eager to destroy the saints cannot endure the glory resting upon the delivered ones. Just a question for you. Were those saints the ones who died over 100 years ago? You be the judge. Those who are so eager to destroy the saints cannot endure the glory resting upon the delivered ones. This is yet future, isn't it? And they fall like dead men to the earth. Satan and evil angels flee from the presence of the saints glorified. Their power to annoy them is gone forever. And now for those two last quotes I wanted to share with you, which really, I think, really tops it regarding the seven last plays, because this dealt with two individuals, Sister White knew and wrote to. Yeah, and you've probably all read them more than once. She says, I hardly know, Mrs. Hastings, a well-known friend and sister in the faith, what to say to you. And then this is just an explanation, words to a husband and children on the loss of a wife and mother. End of insertion. The news of your wife's death was to me overwhelming. I could hardly believe it and can hardly believe it now. God gave me a view last Sabbath night, which I will write, dot, dot, dot. I saw that she was sealed. Sealed. And would come up at the voice of God and stand upon the earth and would be with, don't forget that word, with the 144,000. I saw we need not mourn for her. She would rest in the time of trouble, you know, seven last plays. And all that we could mourn for was our loss in being deprived of her company. I saw her death would result in good. That's from letter 10, 1850. A number of other places where it's been reproduced, manuscript releases, volume 14, page 53, to name one of them. I'm sorry. It appears the quote, oh no, different quote, sorry. I haven't put a space in between. Sorry for that. This is a quote from Second Selected Messages 263. Endure the trial well and you will receive a crown of glory with your companion at the appearing of Jesus. Hold fast truth and you with her will be crowned with glory, honor, immortality and eternal life. That's obviously linked to the previous statement. And the last quote. The death of Henry and wife. He was 16 years of age when he died. Listen to what she says and look specifically what I've put in bold. He felt anxious lest someone might be away weeping and inquired for his mother, saying, "Oh, my dear mother, may God comfort her." After this, he inquired if the physician was coming soon and said there was not much need of a physician then. His mother asked him if he suffered pain and he replied that he did not. Praise the Lord. He called his father and said, "Father, you are losing your son. You will miss me, but don't mourn. It is better for me. I shall escape being drafted and shall not witness the seven last plagues." Now, granted, it's not spirit. Sister White's quoting her son saying this, but clearly they had a specific understanding about this. "It is better for me. I shall escape being drafted and shall not witness the seven last plagues." He could have just said six, and Sister White could have written six a lot of the times, all the times that we've read previous to this quote. "To die so happy is a privilege." He said that music had been his greatest earthly pleasure. You remember he was the great singer of their household and asked Edson to play Mount Vernon for him on the melodeon. Edson went into the parlor and complied with his request, and on his return, Henry said, "Music in heaven will be sweeter than that." And that's from Life Sketches 88, page 348. So I think you can see it's quite clear that there is a huge distinction, as the first quote given today and said last week as well, in relation to the Mount of Transfiguration, where Moses represents those who shall be resurrected from the dead, and Elijah representing those who shall not see death. Two distinct groups. Any thoughts, any questions, any insights, any comments anyone would like to make? I'll leave it there for this week. And so next week we'll get to continue from verse 4 onwards in chapter 14.
What a wonderful hope we have.
We have this hope that reigns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord. Can't remember the rest of the words, sorry. We have this hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord. We have this faith that Christ alone imparts, faith in the promise of his word. We believe the time is here when the nations far and near shall awake and shout and sing, Hallelujah, Christ is King. We have this hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord. We are united in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are united in his love, love for the waiting people of the world, people who need our Savior's love. Soon the heavens will open wide. Christ will come to claim his bride. All the universe will sing, Hallelujah, Christ is King. We have this hope, is faith and God's great love. We are united in Christ. All right.
Amen. Powerful words of truth. Wonderful life.
Amen. That was beautiful. That was great.
Thank you, dear bro. That was beautiful. Hugs to you. Well, is there any testimonies, any requests, any songs, any stories anyone wants to share before we open it up to a season of prayer on this the 14th or 13th of October, 2021?
I just want to thank everybody for the prayers for my daughter and son-in-law. He is on medication and doing somewhat better. He wanted to go to Weimar, but Weimar deals only with the depression side of manic depressive, and right now he is not depressed. So they're trying to find some other program that will get him off the medication and onto, you know, something more natural. Keep praying for him, that we can find something and that he will get the help that he needs. Thank you.
I'd like for you to pray for me. I'm going to have to take the vaccine shot soon.
Well, thank you, sisters. Thank you for sharing that, Sister Jean. I'm so glad to hear he's a little different and a little better and a bit easier to be around him for himself. And yes, indeed, may he be led to take something more natural that won't have the side effects that are so common with drugs. So, sister, thank you, Sister Chaka. Indeed, we'll keep your prayer requests and what you are impressed to do. You remind me of Brother Laverne. His deadline is the 15th. If he doesn't get a vaccine, he doesn't have his job. And he's got an apprenticeship. So I think he's been doing it for a couple of years. I think he could be almost on his last year, if not less than a year. So go ahead, sis. Sorry, it shows Sister Chaka's hand up. It's like, I want to say something. Did you want to say something, sis? Okay. And is there anything else anyone would like to share?
I want to sing a hymn, Wonderful Merciful Savior. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, cubra toda la lanca, rescue the souls of men. Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Consoler, comforter, keeper, spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts are hopelessly lost or way. Oh, we hopelessly lost away. You're the one that we praise. You're the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, hearts always hunger for. Almighty Infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, hearts always hunger for. Amen.
Oh, that was beautiful. What is the title of that song? Does anyone, I'm sure she knows, sis, do you, would you be able to pass that title on when it's convenient?
It is a wonderful song. Sister Rose sings it quite often, and Sister Garay did a beautiful job with that song. Thank you so much. I don't know the correct title of it. Maybe it's Wonderful Savior or Wonderful Counselor, but they would know it because they sing it quite often.
What a beautiful song, Sister Rose. That was lovely.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful, merciful Savior. Thank you, dear bro and sis and family. Very moving song. Well, shall we open it up to a season of prayer? If anyone would like to pray, please feel free to do so, and I'll go last.
Dear Father in heaven, we're so grateful that you have given us these words of hope, and that death is just like you said, it's a sleep, and it saves us from many, many hours of pain and discomfort, and in your mercy, you let us go to sleep, knowing that we will rise again, we will see your face, and we know that you have promised eternal life to those who are faithful. And we don't judge who is or who isn't. We know that God is the one that knows us the best from the beginning of our lives to the end of our lives. And many of us have passed through very bad childhood that made it difficult to sometimes be the model that humans expect from Christians, but God knows the heart, and God is the final judge, and all we can do here on this earth is to love others as God has loved us. And thank you, dear Lord, for giving us that love that we can spread to other people. Thank you so much for music, which lifts the heart and soul, and for those who can sing it well. Thank you for these promises that Sister White wrote about. We still have a lot to learn, and thank you for the life to learn it. Be with those who have a prayer, a wish in their heart for someone else that knows something about that person that not everybody knows. that have asked for prayer for them. And remember the unspoken prayers of many hearts. Be with those that are still alive. Give them strength. May they put on the whole armor of God so that when these troubling times come, they are able to stand and stand victorious. And most of all, thank you for Jesus, who made the way possible, who died in our place so that we could claim these promises and have life with him eternally. Comfort those who are grieving at this time. Be very close to them and help their hearts to know that this is not goodbye. It's just, we'll see you in the morning. Thank you, dear Lord, for that promise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father in heaven, thank you for providing for us so much to live by that can meet every emergency of life, even to the very nth of this world's existence and history. And as Sister Joan said, none of us know who are your true people or not, in the sense of being able to point out and know everything about what motivates someone. What a blessing it is to trust in the grace of God to believe in being like Jesus in this world, no matter how people might treat us. Help us get strength from others' weakness in the world that we live in, and warmth from the coldness of others, and hope from the doubt of others, because we're trusting on the sure rock where we're told, Jesus, you tell us today, as it was first said on Mount of Blessings, that whosoever builds, hears my words and do them, he be likened to him. That person is one that builds their house on a rock. You. Where, when we fall on that rock, we're crushed and become part of you. You become a part of us instead of it crushing us. Thank you for the offer of salvation to give to others as well as ourselves. We may have been Christians for many years or just started, and yet it's a dying daily experience. And we're grateful to think that we can, when people die in our lives that we've known to be Christians, loved ones, that we can lay them to rest and have a hope to see them again if we're also faithful. It's an imperative that we be faithful so that we can make sure we are there on the resurrection morn, or if we don't see death, to see them when they are resurrected. To comfort one another with these words and the many other words of scripture that give us the hope that, as dear Sister Joan said, it's, I'll see you in the morning. Thank you that so we know what happens to a person when they die. They're not being tempted. They're not burning somewhere forever and ever, or they're not up above, floating below, looking at the sad, wicked world we live in and on. that there's no more trials for them to go through. There's no more temptations they have to resist through the grace of God. Their record's made up. Please help us be faithful with our own souls to believe that in all areas, which is your perfect will, we can and must have Christ living within, maintaining victory after victory. We want to be a part of the 144,000 even if we die striving. For we know that a blessing rests upon those. We're told in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, that wonderful promise of those who die and the three angels' messages. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Bless our brothers and sisters to get the needed rest that they need, and above all of us, to be resting in Jesus in the Christian service that is before us. In Jesus we thank and pray in hope and trust. Amen. Sister Chaka, did you want to pray?
Yes, I would like to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for another midweek prayer meeting Wednesday night. Bible study asks that you would be with us in a special way. Keep us safe. Watch over us, Lord. Protect us as we depart and bring us back safely at the appointed time, Lord, and bless us with more clarity, wisdom, and guidance of your word and strength and comfort every loss and every loved one that people have lost just very recently and just in the future and years ago as well. We just ask that you would keep them, Lord, throughout into this week. Give us a special Sabbath blessing and forgive us for where we've gone wrong in any way, Lord. We just ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen and amen. Well, is there any last thoughts before we close tonight? Anyone has on their hearts before we close for today? Most of you will be preparing for bed. Some of you will be going forward to work. Anything at all?
Well, this has been a very strange week. my ex-husband passed away, Robert and Cindy's dad. we're having the memorial for him on Friday. And then I heard about Elaine. And I felt very, very sorry for that. And my condolences to Brother Dick. And then I heard that a dear friend that I used to sing duets with when we had our singing group had passed away from congestive heart failure. She lived in Canada, and I used to keep in contact with her on Facebook. And I hadn't heard from her for a while. And her dear son, who is an orthopedic surgeon in Thailand, texted me and told me that his mom had passed away the day before. So it's like in a period of a week, so many people that I was close to or I knew about that have gone to sleep. And I thought it must be getting really close to the time of the end when these souls don't have to suffer anymore. And God in his mercy has allowed them to sleep and to be ready for the great resurrection. So praise the Lord for his words that tell us what happens when we die. That we don't have to worry about being tormented because we're not saved. We're just sleeping. And he even showed us with his own life how he had the power of life and death. And thank you, dear Jesus, for doing this.
Thank you for sharing that, and you are in our prayers too, sis. Big hugs to you. Thank you for sharing that. We will keep that family in prayer as well. When you mentioned the morning, it made me think of Ecclesiastes 3:4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time for everything under the sun. And as we look about us and with knowing the present truth for however short or long, there really is coming a time when this will be history and that will be it. The world as we know it will be no more. And a new heavens and a new earth will take its place after the 1,000 years, according to Revelation 20.
I think of my dear friend Norma in Canada. She and her 3 children. She had Linda, who was my daughter's age, my son and daughter's age, and then Nick, who is the orthopedic surgeon there in Thailand, and a younger girl named Bonita, who is an RN, who works at a hospital in Loma Linda. And we were able to take them with us on a houseboat trip on the Sacramento River. And when my daughter had written up kind of a memorial for her dad, he had called and said how much he had enjoyed the outings that we took them on, because they wouldn't have had a vacation unless we had taken them along. And he especially thought a lot of my husband then, who allowed him to steer the houseboat. So we took our singing group with us many, many places. We bought a 15-passenger van to hold more people. And we took them backpacking in the backcountry of Yosemite, some of whom had never been backpacking before. And it was just a very delightful time. And the main thing we did was to go to Marlinda Nursing Home every Sabbath after church and sing to the patients there. And so the group became very active and was asked to sing in other places, which we did. The teenagers in the group had organized and chose officers, and for a long time, my mother was the pianist that played the piano for them. And so we were like a big family. Our house was always full on the weekends, full of teenagers. And that was a really blessed gathering. We had so many good times. And like one of the girls said, she's like a second sister to Cindy. She said that she would always remember how good it was to see someone smile that was in a nursing home that didn't get very many people to visit them. And they loved the teenagers that came and sang, and they sang so faithfully every Sabbath. And I praise God for that experience. It's a wonderful thing to look back on, and he allowed us to have that experience.
Yeah, amen, Sister Luce. Sounds lovely. Wow. How interesting. Thank you for sharing that, sis. Is there any last thoughts to share before, if our dear brother is up to it, we sing that going away home song?
I was wondering if anyone had any of that beautiful music of the songs that were sung tonight by Rose on CD.
I believe they're in the, they would be in the archives there at Let There Be Light Ministries. Because all of these programs are recorded, so the songs and the words would be there to listen to again. If Elder Robert were here, I know he's only probably a half hour away from here. The last time I heard from him, they were on the grapevine getting ready to enter into Los Angeles on the 5 freeway. And would be here just very soon. I think they thought they would be here by 8 o'clock, and it's almost 8 o'clock now. He could tell you more about that, but he'll be here on Sabbath, I'm sure. He'll be here Friday night.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, sis. Yeah, it's such a blessing that the recordings are made available in the archives of meetings. And, of course, the music section. Brother Bob set up Spirit of Prophecy songs, hymns, and scripture songs. There's a lot there, a lot to choose from. Very interesting lyrics. And, of course, you get the audio with it. That's a blessing. But if you were thinking of professional sis, as in, you know, professional singers, of course, that would be the other realm. I'm sure more than one person has sung that and has recorded it. But I don't know of a particular CD before me. But that song, again, was Wonderful, Merciful Savior, Sister Garai sung. And like Sister Joan said, Lord willing, we always want to add Lord willing. We don't know what tomorrow or today is going to bring for that matter. For the Christian, we can remain in Jesus whatever happens, though the heavens fall, or though something else happens. We can trust in him. We know who our stay and our hold is. But hopefully we'll all be together and more brothers and sisters on Sabbath. And our dear brother Bob and sister Michelle and sister Adele. And thank you, brother Justin, for opening today for us. Again, like you have in the past. We appreciate it. So we'll be keeping these things that we've discussed in prayer, and let's mingle it with praise. The beginning of eternal life in the future to come. My dear brother Dick, are you able to sing us away? Are you up?
Yes. Somehow I think you all deserve a notice. Elaine passed away on the 12th of October.
My condolences, Brother Dick.
Thank you. We buried her today up here on the mountain at Witch Springs, Arkansas. We did a direct burial. Didn't use them. Mortuaries, didn't use a funeral home service. Arkansas allows you to bury your own people without going through that paganism and idolatry, as I regard it. But we do have the blessed hope. So, keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.
God bless. Good night to everybody, and see you Friday night evening. God bless, and sorry, my sympathy be with everyone that's lost loved ones. Good night. Thank you.